Welcome back to the show. It's March 2026, and I don't know about you, but I can feel a shift in the atmosphere this month. There's a sense of anticipation, maybe even a little bit of wait, but you know, the good kind. We are stepping into a season that the church calendar calls Lent, but honestly, looking at our topic for this month, it feels less like a ritual and more like a reset button for our spiritual lives.
That is exactly how I read it too. We're looking at this set of newsletter notes and Bible studies specifically designed for this month, and the whole theme is walking with Jesus towards the cross.
Right.
And before anyone tunes out thinking, you know, oh, this is just about giving up chocolate or feeling somber, I really want to frame this differently. This isn't about behavior modification, it's about alignment.
Alignment. Okay, that word jumped out at me immediately from the intro material. Such a mechanical word, but in a spiritual context, it changes everything.
It does. I mean, think about your car. If your wheels are out of alignment, you can still drive, but you're fighting the wheel the whole time.
Oh, yeah. It's exhausting.
It is. You're burning fuel just to stay in the lane. And a lot of believers feel that way right now. They're spiritually tired, burnt out, fighting to keep it all together. This month's topic suggests that the fatigue isn't because you aren't working hard enough. It's because you're out of alignment with where Jesus is actually going.
So the invitation this month isn't work harder for God. It's
It's stop fighting the wheel.
stop fighting the wheel. I like that.
Precisely. It's about letting your life just slide back under the loving rule of Christ. It's about surrender, which, you know, ironically is where the real power is found. The notes make this really sharp distinction right at the beginning that frames the entire month.
Okay.
They talk about the difference between being a spectator and a follower.
Let's dig into that because I think most people listening would probably say, well, of course I'm a follower, I'm a Christian. But the newsletter, it really challenges that assumption, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And it pulls no punches. A spectator is someone who watches the movement of God, but from a safe distance. They might cheer, they might get emotional during a worship song, they might even agree with all the theology, but they stay on the sidewalk. They don't have any skin in the game.
Right.
A follower, on the other hand, gets off the sidewalk and onto the road. And as we're going to see in these five Bible studies, the road Jesus is walking this month, it is not a safe, comfortable path. It's a road of transformation.
Reminds me of that saying, you know, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way.
Exactly. The spectator wants the comfort of the crowd. The follower wants the presence of the king, even if it means walking into the unknown. So the whole goal of these five studies we're unpacking today is to move us from the crowd to the convoy. They're designed for, you know, prayerful engagement, not just skimming.
So let's look at the map for this journey then. We've got five specific stops, five Bible studies that define this road. And week one kicks off with a title that is, I mean, it's a bit confronting. The Call to Follow a Suffering Messiah. We're in Luke chapter 9.
This is such a pivot point in the gospel. Up until now, everyone loves Jesus.
Yeah, he's a celebrity.
He's healing people, feeding thousands, doing miracles. It's all very exciting. And Peter finally has this revelation. The notes call it a breakthrough moment, where Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah."
A plus for Peter. He got the right answer.
He did. He nailed the theology. But then Jesus does something that just completely confuses them. He immediately starts talking about suffering, rejection, and death.
Right.
And this is where the notes highlight a massive tension. We love the glory side of God. In this same chapter, you get the transfiguration, Jesus shining with light, Moses and Elijah show up.
The power encounter. That's what we all want.
That's the mountaintop experience we all chase.
And Peter literally says, let's build tents and live here. He wanted to camp out in the glory.
And I think we all do. We chase that spiritual high. We want the goosebumps. But the insight from this week's study is that Jesus makes it clear the path to that glory runs straight through the cross. You cannot bypass the difficult stuff to get to the resurrection. And that leads to the challenge of the week: deny yourself.
Okay, we have to unpack that phrase because in religious circles, deny yourself has, well, it's often been weaponized to mean hate yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you're supposed to treat yourself like you're garbage. Is that what the text is saying?
Not at all. And thank goodness the notes really clarify this. Denying yourself isn't self-hatred, it's self-dethroning.
Self-dethroned.
It's resigning as the CEO of your own life.
I like that image, resigning as CEO.
It means stopping the chase for comfort and approval. And the study asks this really piercing question: where are you choosing comfort over obedience?
Oof.
Yeah, if I am the center of my universe, my main goal is to protect my feelings and my reputation. To deny myself means I lose my so-called right to run the show so that I can find real life in him.
That's the paradox that the newsletter points out, right? You lose your life to find it.
Exactly. If you cling to your control, you lose it anyway. But if you surrender it to the spirit, you get back a life that is actually worth living.
Wow.
So week one is the invitation. Are you willing to walk the valley with him, or do you just want the view from the top?
That sets a serious foundation. Then, moving into week two, the tone shifts from the call to the discipline. The title is The Obedient Servant Who Does Not Turn Back, and it's based on Isaiah 50.
This is one of the most practical studies in the whole set. It focuses on the prophetic image of the servant having an awakened ear.
He wakens me morning by morning. That is such a poetic image.
It's beautiful, but it's also a discipline. The notes describe this as a daily reliance on the voice of God. I mean, think about it. The servant doesn't wake up with a to-do list he created.
No.
He wakes up with an ear tuned to heaven.
Huh.
He wakes up assuming he needs to listen before he speaks.
In a world where we wake up and immediately check our phones, doom scroll the news, or just start stressing about emails, this feels radical.
It is radical. It's a completely countercultural rhythm. But here's the aha moment for me in this study. The text says he listens so that he can sustain the weary with a word.
Oh, wow. So the listening isn't just for his own benefit.
No. It's for ministry. It's for others. If you feel like you have nothing to give to the people around you, if you're feeling spiritually dry, it's probably because you haven't heard anything fresh from God that morning.
Mm.
You can't speak life if you haven't heard life.
That hits home. We try to pour out from an empty cup. But the notes also mention that this level of listening requires some grit. It talks about setting your face like flint.
That's the charismatic backbone of the study. Flint is a hard stone. When you strike it, it sparks. To set your face like flint means you have an unshakable resolve.
Okay.
In the context of Isaiah, the servant is facing mockery and opposition. People are pulling out his beard, spitting on him. But he doesn't flinch. And why? Because he has heard from God.
So his confidence doesn't come from the crowd liking him.
No.
It comes from the voice he heard in the morning.
Exactly. He who vindicates me is near. That's the secret. You don't need to argue on social media. You don't need to defend your reputation. You know who you are because the Spirit affirmed you before you even got out of bed.
So the actionable step for week two is really about establishing that morning rhythm. Before the world gets loud, let God's voice be the first thing you hear.
That's it. Developing the ear of a disciple.
Moving on to week three, we go to Psalm 22. From agony to trust in God. Now, looking at the notes, this is what they call the time travel text.
It really is mind-blowing. You have David writing this 1,000 years before Christ, and he is describing a Roman crucifixion in, graphic detail.
And the Roman Empire didn't even exist yet.
Not even close. Pierced hands and feet, disjointed bones, gambling for clothes. It's undeniable proof of the prophetic nature of Scripture.
It just builds your faith, knowing the Bible is that interconnected. But beyond the history, there's a deep emotional cry here. It starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me?
And we have to pause there. The study validates honest agony. It doesn't rush you to the happy ending.
Mm.
It acknowledges that there are moments in our walk where we feel completely abandoned. I mean, Jesus himself prayed this on the cross. He entered into that feeling of separation so that we would never have to be truly separated.
I think that's so important for anyone listening. Sometimes we feel like if we have faith, we shouldn't struggle. This study is saying the struggle is actually part of the prayer language.
It is. You don't have to fake it with God. You can be raw. But, and here's the shift, you don't stay there. The psalm pivots.
Right.
It goes from this desperate complaint to this sudden declaration of praise. I will declare your name to my brethren.
It's like a switch just flips.
It's a breakthrough. The circumstances haven't changed yet. He's still surrounded by bulls and lions in the text.
Right.
But his perspective shifts. He remembers who God is.
So this week is about learning how to move from pain to praise.
Yes. It's about spiritual formation through trust. It's looking at your situation and saying, this looks like a funeral, but I know God is a God of resurrection.
Yeah.
It's trusting the author even when the current chapter is a nightmare.
That is so powerful. Okay, moving to week four, we are back in Luke chapter 19. The king who weeps on the way to the cross. This one. This one feels heavy. We usually think of Palm Sunday as a party.
It's a very noisy scene. The crowds are shouting, Hosanna. They're waving branches. It looks like a revival. But the camera zooms in on Jesus, and he isn't smiling. The text implies he is heaving with sobs, he is weeping loudly.
But why? Everyone is finally cheering for him.
Because he sees what they don't. The expert analysis in the notes points out that they missed the time of their visitation.
Visitation. That's a very specific spiritual term. What does that mean in this context?
It means God showed up, and they didn't recognize him. They had a box for what God was supposed to look like. They wanted a political liberator. They wanted a military conqueror to kick out the Romans. They wanted power and national sovereignty.
And instead, they got a suffering servant on a donkey.
Exactly. And because he didn't look like their expectation, they couldn't receive him. The same crowd cheering on Sunday is shouting, "Crucify him," by Friday because he failed to meet their political agenda.
That is a terrifying thought for us today, the study asks.
Mm-hmm.
Are we missing what God is doing right now because it doesn't look like what we expected?
That's the question that should stop us in our tracks. We pray for revival, but maybe it comes through repentance. We pray for a breakthrough, but God sends a process of brokenness. If we are only looking for the flashy version of God, we might miss the Jesus who is weeping over the things that break his heart.
So the application here is really asking the Holy Spirit to open our eyes.
Yes, to see what Jesus sees, and honestly, to align our hearts with his. To weep over what he weeps over, it's moving from, "God, give me what I want," to, "God, change my heart to match yours."
Which brings us to the final leg of the journey, week 5, Hebrews 12. Enduring the path set before you. This feels like the "so what now" part of the whole series.
It is. The metaphor shifts to a race. We have a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. But you can't run a marathon carrying a bunch of luggage.
And the notes make a really interesting distinction here between sin and weight.
Oh, this is crucial for anyone who wants to run well. The text says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders," and "aban," the sin that so easily entangles. They're two different categories.
Okay.
Sin is obviously bad lying, stealing, bitterness. But a weight might be a good thing that is just in the wrong place.
Like what?
Well, it could be a hobby that consumes all your time. It could be a relationship that drains your spiritual energy. It could even be a good ministry opportunity that isn't the God opportunity for you right now. It's not sinful, but it's heavy.
Right. And if you're trying to run an endurance race, you can't carry extra ounces.
The study really challenges us to audit our lives. What is slowing us down? And then it dives into a topic nobody likes. Discipline.
A word we all recoil from.
Yeah, we usually associate discipline with punishment. Like, you messed up, so here comes the smack. But the notes reframe this completely. In this text, discipline isn't judicial. It's athletic. It's training.
Training.
It's sonship.
That changes the emotional reaction completely.
It does. If I think God is punishing me, I want to hide from him. But if I think he is training me because he loves me and has a destiny for me, I want to lean in. The notes say this training produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. So when you are in a hard season, instead of asking, "God, why are you doing this to me?" the question becomes, "Father, what are you training in me?"
And the key to surviving that training is where we look.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer. He ran the race first. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. So when we get weary, and let's be honest, life is wearying, we don't look at the obstacle. We look at the one who already conquered it.
This really is a complete journey. We start with the call to deny self. We move into the daily discipline of the awakened ear. We learn to trust through the agony. We align our hearts with his weeping. And we finish with the endurance to run the race.
It's a comprehensive roadmap for spiritual formation. It moves you from that spectator on the sidewalk to a runner on the road.
I want to circle back to one thing the newsletter mentioned in the intro, because I think it's the safety net for this whole conversation. It's so easy to hear all this, deny yourself, wake up early, endure discipline, and think, okay, I have to perform better so God will accept me.
And we have to just rebuke that lie right now. You do not walk this road to earn love. You walk it because you are already loved. You aren't training to make the team. You're training because you've already been adopted into the family.
We walk this road because Jesus walked it first. And he is walking it with us now. The Holy Spirit is the one empowering the awakened ear and the endurance.
Exactly. It's his power, not our willpower.
As we wrap this up, there's a thought that keeps coming back to me from these notes. We so often look at our struggles as things that are just in the way.
Right.
We want to just edit them out of our story.
We want the smooth road.
But what if, and I want you to really let this sink in, what if the very thing you are struggling with right now, that obstacle, that silence, that difficult relationship, what if that isn't an interruption? What if that is the training ground for the assignment you haven't even seen yet?
Wow, that redefines the struggle completely. It gives the pain a purpose. It means God isn't ignoring you. He's preparing you.
Friends, we have only scratched the surface of what is in this month's topic.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the themes, but you really need to experience the text for yourself.
Absolutely. Hearing us talk about it is one thing. Letting the Word of God read you is something else entirely. That's where the transformation happens.
So here's what we need you to do. Go to the newsletter, click the link, get these 5 Bible studies. Don't just listen to this discussion and think, okay, I got the gist of it. You don't have it until you walk it.
Don't be a spectator this month.
Open your Bible. Set aside the time, even if it's just 15 minutes in the morning, and walk this journey for yourself. Allow this season to be one of true alignment.
Let the Spirit do the work He wants to do in you.
March 2026. The road is open. Let's make it count. Thanks for joining us.
See you on the road.